Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. Allergy season is here, and that means one thing. You need the Thunderstorm. Save on their lowest price with code word Howie at EdenPure.com.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
All right, now before I introduce my next guest, I'm going over some of her recent tweets. Dan Rather tweeted out, "Any parent of a preschooler will tell you that the wrong way to respond to a temper tantrum is to purge leadership from your political party." Emerald Robinson responded, "Any parent of a preschooler will tell you to never trust journalists who get fired for fabricating documents during a presidential campaign." Whoa! She is just dropping absolute bombs on these people on Twitter, and I love it. Emerald Robinson, Newsmax White House correspondent, thank you so much for joining the Grace Curley Show once again.
Hi, Grace. Great to be with you. And I have to say, I love your intro.
Oh, thank you.
I'm going to take some notes on that.
Thank you very much, Emerald. All right, my first question for you. I know you've always been following the gain-of-function research, the Wuhan lab stuff. You were way ahead of this before the media would go near it. Do you feel vindicated, or do you feel like all of this change-up from the White House is trying to distract from the story that you've been focusing on for a long time?
There's definitely an attempt to distract from the story. You're also seeing a little bit of a minimizing of Dr. Tony Fauci since this is getting more traction. I mean, I feel vindicated, Grace, but I also feel really sad that the state of our media is that they tried their best to not only ignore it, but discredit it for over a year now. Something we really need to know, right? We need to know the origins of this pandemic so we can prevent it from happening. We can, you know, do something about it. And now they're kind of talking about it in a way to try to sort of save face, but they still don't really want to talk about it or really point the finger at Dr. Fauci.
Yeah, and I'm curious, Emerald, because you have a front row seat a lot of the time for these press conferences. And I was just reading from a New York Times piece, and it was all about how detail-oriented and how brilliant Joe Biden is and how he's doing all of these things behind the scenes and he has these long meetings late at night and, you know, he never lets one detail slip through the crack. And first of all, I know you haven't actually talked to Joe Biden that much. He doesn't talk to the press as often as you guys would like. But is that the sense that you get from this administration that it's a well-oiled machine?
Actually, it's funny you say that. He just came out of the West Wing, like maybe 10 minutes before I began talking to you. And the moment he saw reporters, he ran back inside.
No way.
It was almost like the groundhog. I have a video of it. that reporting from the New York Times directly contradicts what CNN reported when they laid out an expose on his day and it says that he retired to the residence by 7 p.m. And he doesn't even start taking calls until after 9 a.m. in the Oval. And that seems a little more consistent with what I've seen here at the White House. It's a pretty much a 9-to-5 operation right now, which seems a night and day contrast with the former administration, the Trump administration, when it was always something going on. And sometimes I was running back over here at 11 p.m. at night, you know, because something had broken. And I don't see that same atmosphere that the New York Times described in any way.
Yeah, no, I don't either. And I don't get the sense that he's hemming and hawing over a lot of policy, you know, with his staff. I get the sense that he comes out, and every time he comes out, Emerald, do you notice he always seems to have some concerning thing to say along the lines of either I'm going to get in trouble for this, or I'm not supposed to be talking to you, or I'll take one more question, but then they're really going to be mad at me. Well, what do the reporters think in the press pool? Are you guys going, why does he keep saying this?
Well, the thing is, you know, he ran back inside into the West Wing just like a kid who would get in trouble that he got caught from his mom, you know, so that must be a real thing. They don't talk about it much, but clearly there's frustration with the lack of access to him. But look, they helped put him here, so they can't complain about it too much because they know, you know, that would be seen even a level of hypocrisy that they don't want to admit to. So they grit and bear it, and they really get upset that there's not more access to him. And look, when he does take questions, it's like 2 to 3 and done, and they're extremely softball questions.
Well, that's the part of it for my listeners, Emerald, that is the most frustrating, is that when he does take questions, when these reporters do get a little bit of a chance to ask him something, they throw something out that's like, what do you think of Orange Man Bad and Liz Cheney? And then he says something. And a lot of times he says these jokes, Emerald, I don't understand them, but everyone in the press pool starts kind of guffawing and laughing like he's really hilarious, like he's Don Rickles. And I'm sitting there going, why are they laughing at him? He's not funny.
I know. And sometimes it's sad. You know, the one reporter did manage to get in a question to him before he got through the door here at the West Wing just now. And it was, how does it feel to be outside the first day without your mask? And I thought, Israel is burning. We have massive inflation. You know, there's still gas shortages. We don't know, you know, how this whole ransomware payment went down. And that's what we're asking. Would the one time he comes out of the West Wing, the one time some people actually have access to him? I was running from the driveway and trying to run up there. And it's just, I mean, and remember on the campaign trail, it was, what's your favorite flavor ice cream, or what flavor of ice cream did you get? And they're all participating with this. They're all participating in the softball questions. And they do it with Jen Psaki, too. And the moment she feels like she's getting any kind of pushback, she just falls apart.
Right.
Very combative.
Emerald, I do want to play this one cut for you because I know you don't mince words. I know you're not afraid to tell us how you feel. And I just thought this was the weirdest sound cut I'd ever heard from an American president. Cut 16, please, Jared.
You've earned the right to do something that Americans are known for all around the world. Greeting others with a smile. With a smile.
Now, do you think he wrote that, or was that on his teleprompter? Because that's a strange way to put it. You've earned the right to smile at people.
That was definitely a teleprompter. Everything he says is teleprompter. And yesterday, he really struggled with it. I don't know if you watched the remarks on the pipeline. And there were so many moments where he really couldn't get his words out and couldn't read it off the prompter. That was written for him. And you know, that's sad. We could have been smiling at each other. I'll tell you, I was walking down the street probably 3 weeks ago here in Washington, D.C. People were just now starting to come back out again. I mean, this town has been dead. There's no one around. And this beautiful, beautiful woman, tall, you know, very elegant, a little bit older lady comes up to me. I wasn't wearing a mask because I'm like, I'm outside. I follow the science. And when people would say something to me, I'd be like, but the science says, I almost printed up, you know, studies to hand out to people. And she wasn't wearing one either. And she came up to me and she was so lovely. She said, it's so wonderful to see your face. It's so wonderful to see your smile. I miss that. And it was just like a, you know, a really sweet moment. And she's like, they're just keeping us apart for no reason.
It's so true. I've seen people have really, really emotional reactions, Emerald, to being outside and being around people. And it's a beautiful thing to see kind of people's walls break down a little bit after this year of just awful restrictions. I do want to ask you one last question. You mentioned some of the issues the Biden administration is dealing with. You could probably go on forever about all of those issues, whether it's Israel right now, what's happening there, inflation, gas lines, the hacking of the pipeline. What do you think? What's the vibe you get as far as, I don't know if it's internal polling or what? What are the Democrats most worried about right now?
Well, that's a good question. What are they the most worried about? I think they're extremely focused on getting as much progressive policy pushed. I think they're worried about trying to break down the filibuster and push through H.R. 1, which would effectively give them one-party rule, you know, forever. They're very focused. I'm not sure how worried they are right now as much as they're focused about how fast can they push and how hard can they push to get things done, because they know they've got a massive opportunity right now. And it just doesn't seem like a lot of the Republicans, specifically the Senate Republicans, are really fighting back in the way that, in the same level of intensity that the Democrats have.
Yeah, that's frightening, because we really do. This is the time where if we're going to ever get power back, they need to start working on it now. Emerald Robinson.
You know what they are really concerned about, just before we go?
Yeah.
Still really concerned about Donald Trump. They're still looking at ways to get him.
Of course.
Are concerned about him in a potential 2024.
Of course. I know. It's amazing. He lives completely rent-free in their heads. They're obsessed with him. And now they think that the way they can get back at all of us for voting for Donald Trump is to keep their masks on until they're 95 years old. And I say, go for it. You know, get your revenge on me. Keep wearing your mask. I don't really care. Emerald Robinson from Newsmax, where can people follow you on Twitter? You have great tweets.
Thank you. I'm on Twitter at Emerald Robinson. I'm also moving to a new platform called Locals, which, you know, I think we're all going to have to face the day when we're probably not on the big tech social media platforms anymore. So I'm at Locals at Emerald Robinson. Check out that new platform.
Yes, I'm looking at some of your tweets where you're kind of roasting some of these mainstream media darlings. And you could be off this platform very soon, Emerald. They might cut yes. your feed sooner than we think. Thank you very much for joining the Grace Curley Show. We hope to have you on again soon.
Thanks, Grace. Always love talking to you.
All right, guys, when we get back, I'm going to open up the phone lines, take your calls. People have a lot to say right now. I know people are, you know, there's a mix of emotion. Some people are frustrated. Some people are very happy. They see the light at the end of the tunnel. We have a great, you know, it's dramatic, and today's a dramatic day. Jared put together something that you guys are going to want to hear. It's emotional, and I don't know, maybe Andrew Cuomo will come out midway and sing Danny Boy. It's that kind of emotional. We'll be back on the other side. Don't go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. She's got the voice of an angel.
I've been called the songbird of my generation, of people who've heard me.
It's Grace Curley.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Exciting announcement. My latest piece in spectator.us is out. It is up on the site. You guys can check it out. I just tweeted it. Howie's going to tweet it out for me in a little bit. It's all about the teachers union, AFT, the second largest teachers union in America. And I think people will enjoy it. I don't hold back. I'm sure I'm going to get some hate from some educators out there, but that is totally fine by me. I welcome the hate. All right, so I did mention this piece earlier from the New York Times. Emerald Robinson talked to us a little bit about it as well, but I have to keep going because it's too good, Jared. You put this on my desk like you might want to read this. Wow, it's really something else. He hates blandishing fast talk that sounds like doublespeak, said Chris Jennings, a former health policy aide who engaged frequently with Mr. Biden when he was vice president. Doesn't trust it, and he's certain voters loathe it. Earlier in March, the president's top immigration advisors gathered to brief him on the growing problems at the southwestern border, where thousands of children from Central America were crossing without adults. After a drawn-out conversation, I love this part, Mr. Biden asked members of the group whether any of them had been to the border in recent days. He was met with silence, which prompted the predictable reaction, frustration. 4 days later, the advisors arrived at the border to assess the situation. Now, hold on. Am I supposed to gather from this that his word is so powerful and his aura is so strong that his advisors were so frightened by his frustration that it took them 4 days to take his advice and go to the border? And keep in mind, I don't think he's been yet. So maybe they're just going based off the boss. Like, hey, chief.
I want you and my staff to hear this. My talk to us.
While aides say Mr. Biden is quick to demonstrate his displeasure, he is also prone to displays of unexpected warmth. After a grueling briefing for his phone call with Mr. Putin on January 6th, Eric Green, the senior Russia director at the National Security Council, mentioned that Mr. Biden had met his daughter, then about 3 years old, on a visit to Moscow a decade earlier. Moments later, the president was on the phone to say hello to Mr. Green's daughter, now 13, and attending school from home because of coronavirus restrictions.
A vaccine for kids between the ages of 12 and 15 are safe, effective, easy, fast, and free.
In addition to his wife, Jill Biden, Their grandchildren, described as the center of the first couple's world, are often at the White House, spending long weekends or parts of their week there. They have been known to show their grandfather apps like TikTok. One advisor said he had sent the grandchildren money using Venmo. He grilled his newly appointed coronavirus task force advisor, Jeffrey Zients, with questions. Now, these are the questions we're supposed to believe Joe Biden asked. How would Americans react to active duty personnel being deployed onto the streets? Had anything like this been done before? How big was the scale of the effort and how fast could it be scaled up? Mr. Biden did not want to be spared any incremental detail. After the meeting, he pulled Mr. Zients aside and gave him a set of instructions. Bring me the good news. No, bring me the news. Good, bad, and ugly. It's going... It's going to have big moments and not so good moments. And I want to know about every one of them. I want the details. Oh, boy.
Basic scientific research the companies like Pfizer and others are going to be doing with their mRNA.
Acronyms make sense. I believe that part of the story, that he's not a fan of acronyms. Jared, I have to say this quote, bring me the news, good, bad, and ugly. You know what vibe I'm getting from this?
The red and the blue.
Getting a little Bruce Springsteen vibe here. Is this Joe Biden's own?
Between red and blue.
Is this Joe Biden's?
We will cross this divide.
His own personal Jeep commercial? On the morning of March 31st, Mr. Biden was in the Oval Office with Gina McCarthy, his climate czar, to talk about methane emissions and the efforts to reclaim mines. The aides wanted to talk about the global effects of policies that they believed he should enact. He had different kinds of questions. Of course, he's a man of questions, of course. During a lengthy discussion.
Where am I here? Let me see.
Mr. Biden quizzed them on how his climate policy would influence specific workers in Pennsylvania, his home state. How would all of this affect earth-moving workers, fabricators, those pouring concrete, derrick operators, plumbers and pipe fitters and licensed truckers, he asked. Over time, the president's staff has learned the routine. They have padded his schedule with 15-minute breaks because they know he will rarely... Oh no, they know he will not finish on time. He's allowed 30 minutes for lunch, a rotation of salads, soups, and sandwiches.
I want you and my staff to hear this is my chocolate.
One item not on the daily agenda, watching hours of cable news. The television that Mr. Trump installed in the dining room next to the Oval Office is still there, but aides say it is rarely on during the day. Now, I'm going to save this last nugget about what he eats and how the kitchen's stocked for the other side, because it's a really beautiful ending to what I think could win a Pulitzer.
Oh, it will.
It will. It has to. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere. 844-542-42. What a Friday here at the Grace Curley Show. Don't go any...
Oh, this is going to sound wonky.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
The fight for American equality was incredible to behold, but...
We will get to the rest of that piece. It's really just a grocery list of what the Bidens keep in their kitchen, but it will make you swoon. It will make you... You know what? The important thing is, in Eddie Scarry, who's one of my favorite writers from the Washington Examiner, he pointed this out at the very beginning of Joe Biden's presidency, which feels like it was 5 years ago, but it started 5 months ago. He said they excuse everything, all of the ineptitude, because Biden feels, you know, Biden cares, Biden cries. And that's supposed to make up for all of this insanity.
I don't know. I think there's like a 22-month-old in Arkansas that might disagree that Joe Biden cares.
That's true. That's true. Today's poll question is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm. Allergy season is here and you need the Thunderstorm air purifier. Go to EdenPure.com and put in code word GRACE to save $10 off their lowest sale price. That's EdenPure.com, code word GRACE. Jared, I do think we have to go over these a little bit before we set up the poll question. Really, the only one I want to go over again is Rachel Maddow. But what is the poll question before we play these cuts?
Who had the wackiest no more masks response? Joe Biden, you've earned the right to smile. Joe Scarborough, who'll still wear masks on planes. Nicole Wallace, who says, you need to carry your burden for society. Or Rachel Maddow, who needs to rewire her brain.
I'm saying Rachel Maddow, and normally I would not be campaigning so hard for her to win a contest, but when you hear this cut, you will understand why she needs to take this home. Cut 10, please.
Part of it is that I feel like I'm going to have to rewire myself so that when I see somebody out in the world who's not wearing a mask, I don't instantly think you are a threat or you are selfish or you are a COVID denier and you definitely haven't been vaccinated. I mean, we're going to have to rewire the way that we look at each other because the CDC's guidance, which she just told me, we are sure, is that if you're vaccinated, you don't need to wear a mask except in very specific circumstances. And so that means as we change that as a country, we are going to look at each other differently and have to unwire our preconceptions about what a mask or a lack of a mask means. President Biden spoke to that a little bit today, asking for people to. President Biden actually and Dr. Fauci.
All right. Now, once you get past all of the issues, you know, all of the real psychosis nonsense that she's dealing with and all of this wiring that's happening, it's a lot of wiring that's happening. I just want to say, when I look at people in general, what I usually am thinking is either this person standing in my way, I have to walk around them, or nothing. Honestly, sometimes maybe I'm just not as bright as Rachel Maddow. Sometimes my brain is just completely blank. I'm just going about my day. Unless someone walks into my lane and says something to me, I'm probably just going to keep going. I have somewhere to be. I don't really care. I mind my own business. What is this like dissecting people's entire personalities based off of you can see their mouth? I can see your mouth. So I think you are selfish. You are a Republican. You are an anti-vaxxer. You are a monster and I hate you. It seems a little bit presumptuous, judgmental, unstable. So that is why I'm voting for Rachel Maddow.
Rachel Maddow in the lead at 37%.
And I do see you guys on the lines. We are going to take a lot of calls here, 844-500-4242. But before we do, because Rachel Maddow's in the lead, it is time for something I've been, you know, yesterday was a historic day for some of us, especially because you can take your mask off, which, as we learned from Joe Biden, if it's a historic day, you can take your mask off. But for some people, change is really hard. Remember that? What's that line from the Fleetwood Mac song? It's, I've been afraid of changing because I've built my life around you. And the song's based off your parents. But in this case, they've built their lives around this mask and wearing it. And, you know, it really gave them something to hold on to. It gave them a cause. You know, all these people seem to be lost, and this is what they found is the mask. And yesterday was a real big blow to that cult. They took a hit. And Jared thought it would be nice of us and respectful if.
Our civic responsibility, actually.
Yeah, our burden to carry, Nicole Wallace might say, if we could pay our respects to the end of this era. Cut 0, please, Jared.
We are assembled here today to pay final respects to the mask, Karen. And yet it should be noted that in the midst of our sorrow, this death takes place in the shadow of a new life,
amen,
the sunrise of a new world.
Mm-hmm.
Of the mask, Karens, I can say only this. Of all the souls I have encountered in my travels, theirs was the most shrill.
gets you right here.
The bagpipes that always get you. You know?
They can see our lips trembling now. They know.
And you know what? You know how sometimes you lay a rose? I think we just squirt a little bit of hand sanitizer. And that's the final adieu. Wow, Jared, that was beautiful. That was beautiful.
Well, it was from the heart.
Emily, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Emily.
Grace, listen, 1 year ago, I remember feeling crazy because people were telling me with mock sympathy about how they don't wear their mask for them. They wear their mask for me, so to protect me from whatever they might be carrying. But now I feel a little crazy because those who are vaccinated against this virus that will sure it won't kill them anymore. However, they don't have to wear their mask anymore either. They can still be carriers of it. And we know that they can still get it. They just won't die from it necessarily. But they don't have to wear their masks anymore. So I feel like, am I taking crazy pills or does this just not match up? Help me understand.
Well, I think the real issue here is that a big part, I'm actually a good example of this because when it comes to this COVID, I was never really afraid for myself. And that's because science was on my side. I mean, I'm 28 years old. I'm fairly healthy, knock on wood. And I wasn't nervous for myself. But how the mainstream media and how the Democrats kind of played this, which was brilliant in a lot of ways, is they guilted you into this idea that, yeah, you might not hurt yourself, but you'll be a grandma-killing monster. You will transfer this to the older people in your life. And that kind of gave them a lot of control, and it allowed them to kind of reach this group of people that otherwise would have just completely brushed this off. And now what's happening is we're seeing that it really is about control. Because if it really was about, you know, not about you, about other people, and now those people can get the vaccine, then, you know, the Sunny Hostins of the world shouldn't really care what Grace Curley chooses to do. Because I'm no longer going to put anyone in danger who chooses to get vaccinated. But that really interferes with the control aspect of this. And I think that that's what they're struggling with is like, all right, well, if everyone can just decide what they want to do and make their own choices, where does that leave us? We are the bosses. We are the dear leaders. We are the experts. And I think that that was a huge part of this. I think it was like the guilt. And Jared said it from the very beginning. He said they're training you to feel selfish about your freedoms. And when you hear Joe Biden say, now you've earned the right to take your mask off and smile, it begs the question, when did we lose that right? When I did not realize that. Here I am, Jared. I am breaking rules all over the place. I have been smiling at people. I have been out and about. And it turns out I was doing that the whole time without the right to do it.
That's the true cavalier spirit of America. That's the rebellion. You're the new 1776 project for doing that.
I was freewheeling it. I was like a cowgirl. Thank you for the call, Emily. Dave, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Dave.
Happy Friday, Grace.
You too.
Now I want to wear my mask to show people that I haven't been vaccinated. And if I don't wear it, are they going to ask for proof of vaccination?
Well, that's the question is, can they do that? I think what's going to end up happening, Dave, and I've seen this theory floated a lot, which is people are going to start to go, okay, well, you don't have, and I had somebody on about this, and now I'm blanking who the guest was. People are going to start to say, well, you don't have to get it if you don't want to, but just move somewhere else or get a new job or don't come to this store. And that, in a way, it's like the private sector argument. Like, oh, they can do whatever they want. It's private sector. Well, you can do whatever you want, but we're not going to let you in. We're not going to let you work here. We're not going to let your kids go to school here if you don't get vaccinated. So in a way, it is kind of telling you what to do, even if it's not technically mandated. But I do think there's going to be a lot of that coming up soon.
I just feel now that if I wear a mask, people are going to be like, oh, he hasn't been vaccinated. Stay away.
Yeah. Well, you know what? You really can't live your life like that. People, based off what Rachel Maddow says, they could be thinking, oh, he doesn't wear a mask, stay away. Or they could be thinking he's a shark and he's disguised as a human. I mean, there's so many things going on in these people's brains that you shouldn't be walking around trying to figure out what they're thinking. Because, man, you'd have to be a real, you'd have to be Socrates to figure out what's going on in the brains of these people. I was flabbergasted yesterday. I went on Instagram and I didn't realize that POTUS has an Instagram, but a lot of people were posting his CDC announcement about the masks. And I went on to the comment section. Actually, you know what? I might pull it up. It was, when I tell you, Jared, it was wild. I have to whisper to myself now on a daily basis when I read these replies to things. I have to whisper, social media is not real life. These people are not real life. This does not reflect the American people. These are mostly bots. Actually, a woman responded to me today and she said, I always tell myself they're either robots or they're drunk. And I thought, you know what? That actually does lessen the blow of what these people are saying. But yeah, so he posts the CDC. It says fully vaccinated people can stop wearing masks, okay? And now I'm expecting the comments to be like, woohoo, let's go, which is a little crazy because the fact that we're celebrating something we should have been able to do for a year is a little nuts. But compared to what people are actually writing, that would have been great. The first comment, how are we going to tell the difference, cry face? The next comment, with 35,000 likes, I've purchased too many pretty masks to stop now. Another comment, I'm afraid the honor system doesn't work in America. Another comment, thanks, but I'm gonna wear it still, just in case. People were putting gas in plastic bags yesterday. Now I'm supposed to trust they got vaccinated. I'm still going to wear, these are all the top comments. There's not one sane comment that got upliked. I'm still going to wear mine because I like to have my mouth open when I am sleeping on the plane. Still wearing mine so I don't look like an anti-masker. People are about to be lying all day. I'm not ready yet, but thanks for the info. I'm still going to wear mine. Let's not. I will be wearing a mask. I'm fully vaccinated, but I'm keeping the mask on. I don't think I trust the CDC anymore. I'm still wearing mine. And then this person goes, God, these comments are absolutely ridiculous. You're being told by the best public health experts in the world, I disagree with that, but whatever, that it's okay to not wear a mask, but you're refusing to take it off because it might make you look like a Republican. Do you hear yourselves? The next comment, still gonna wear mine because who knows who is vaccinated and what the virus will build resistance to. It should be a personal preference, not something that's rewarded. Oh my God, I can't. I'll continue with these because they really are insane. Insane. And it's like, this is what people actually think? 35,000 likes for someone who says, I bought too many pretty masks to stop now. I'm losing hope. I'm losing hope. I thought our generation was bad. The next one, the Gen Zs, they are like determined to destroy us. They are all crazy town. USA. Allergy season is here, and that means one thing. You need the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. Warmer temps are creeping up, and you know what that means. Jared can tell you what it means because he deals with it all the time.
Yes, it means a scratchy throat, watery eyes, stuffy nose, sometimes even your ears can go. It's just a miserable situation, but it's not miserable if you have the Eden Pure Thunderstorm, which even works with windows open because what it does is it super oxygenates and ionizes the air around you, which gets rid of allergens and pollutants and odors, viruses, anything nasty in the air. It gets rid of it so that you are breathing actual clean oxygenated air.
Absolutely. It's a great product. It's small, but it's powerful. You just turn the nozzle on the side and you can increase it based off how much air you really want to get circulating. It's a great product. And if you use code word GRACE, you'll save an additional $10 off the sale price and get free shipping. Go to EdenPure.com, click on the radio banner, and put in code word GRACE at checkout. That's EdenPure.com, radio banner, and code word GRACE. I got to keep reading these when we get back. People are nuts. This is one lady. This seems extremely dicey to enforce. How in the world can a retailer know who should have a mask on and who doesn't need one? Should we rely on the non-vaccinated segment of the population being honest? Don't think so. Guys, you got to call in. You got to assure me that these are not actual people. Tell me they're bots. I feel like I'm taking crazy pills here. 844-500-4242. It's the Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. This is the Grace Curley Show.
It was also, it was, you know, getting into the details. It was, I think, Easter happened in March this year. The seasonal adjustments are a little funny.
Who was that, Dr. Lewinsky?
That was Cecilia Rose.
Cecilia Rose?
Yes, she is Biden's economic advisor, and she was talking about the jobs report, and part of the problem was that it was the week of April 12th, but we know Easter took place in March this year, which Easter was actually May 4th, but whatever, you know.
Timing is everything. I was just talking to
together.
I was just talking to
April
Howie.
April 4th, I'm sorry.
And he said, I was talking to Howie and he said, this is really going to separate the men from the boys as far as the governors are concerned. Like, who's going to stick it out? What's the line Howie loves? Waist deep in the big money, the big man says to push on. I know I just butchered that, but it's something along those lines. I'm saying this is going to separate the men from the boys of Karens in general. Like, when you go out in the summer and everybody's mask free and eating their hot dogs and loving life, you have to be committed. The stakes of virtue signaling, as Chris Bedford wrote in The Federalist, have gotten higher and higher. That sign on your front lawn that says hate has no home here and water is life, that's not going to cut it anymore. You want to prove you're not a Republican? You want to prove you have a really, really, really strong case of Trump derangement syndrome? Wear the mask. Wear it when it gets hot. Wear it when you're alone. Wear it in the car. You gotta prove to people that you mean business.
And speaking of the governors and separating men from the boys, this was in an article from the New York Times yesterday. On Thursday, the governors of Massachusetts, New York, New Jersey, North Carolina, and Virginia, all Democrats.
Yeah.
Hmm?
New York Times got it right.
So the New York Times finally got something right. The governor of Massachusetts is a Democrat.
No corrections needed there for once. Rick, you're next with Grace. Go ahead, Rick.
Hi, how you doing, Grace? I'm on the show. You're doing a great job.
Thank you.
Enjoying it so much. I went into Lowe's today, decided not to go in, took my mask off, got in there. First thing the attendant says, where's your mask? I said, I don't need my mask. I'm following the CDC guidelines. I don't have to wear a mask, and I don't have to social distance. And he goes, okay, sir, what can I do for you?
Nice! Small win for the credulous boomer rubes! I love it. Good for you, Rick. And good for the store. What was it, Lowe's?
I think you said Lowe's, yeah.
Yeah, good for Lowe's. That is true. You know, if you had to follow the CDC when they were flip-flopping for the last year, I wasn't a big fan of the CDC, but now I will follow them into the darkness. I'm going to be quoting the CDC all summer long, baby. We'll be back with more of your calls. Don't go anywhere. This is the Grace Curley Show.